I'm wondering if I should, no, I'm going to, actually, you know what? I am going to share first. So, bit of a confession to you all. If you've heard my story about how I came back to Enid, then this is not news to you, but for some of you, it will be. I never wanted to come back to Enid, and I never wanted to do student ministry. Here I am. Janine. King's Kids, second grade on down. You are dismissed. If you want to go to King's Kids, go ahead. You are dismissed. I always forget that every time. Every single time. I just need to, like, whenever it's my turn to be up here, I just need to write King's Kids right there. And permanent marker. But I did not want to be back in Enid. I did not want to do student ministry. And if I'm being incredibly honest, I didn't want to come back to Graceway. Man. Obviously, the Lord had different plans. But I've been here about a year now. And I can just tell you, whenever God called Haley and I to Enid, we were incredibly excited. Haley wanted to be here the entire time. It was me. I was a problem. I am always the problem, and I was the one keeping us back. So whenever I said, yeah, Enid, no question. But in this last year, it has been very difficult for me. It's probably because I'm usually the problem, and I usually have a lot of problems I'm working through. But specifically in the youth group, sorry. You love me anyways, thank you. It has been a really hard year for me, relating to students. It's not the easiest thing. Trying to teach students the Bible, it's not always the easiest thing. Building relationships with students, it's not always the easiest thing. Okay, I'm just going to read through every single name, and if you prayed for this person, just raise your hand and keep your hand raised, okay? We put this in the insert last week. If you prayed for Katie Bell, will you raise your hand? If you prayed for Gray Bruin for this week, would you raise your hand? Carly Decker, Megan Griffin, John Hinkey Rose, Helena Page, Alexis Rawson, Riley Trainer, Juliana Watts, Craig Bruin, Molly Bruin, Jerrica Bowman, Shelby Maddox, and Miranda Sanders. You can put your hands down. Friends, I can tell you, God used your prayers this week. We're going to have a moment. You see in your insert, we have four students, but we really have five. So keep that in mind while you're taking notes. You're going to hear that God moved in the lives of students, but God moved in the lives of adults. I went to camp. I went to Falls Creek with resistance towards students, being nervous about relating to students. And then every single night, I got to see not just students, but these students, singing praises to God, worshiping Him, truly worshiping Him. I got to see these students grow closer to not only other churches in Enid, but so much closer to each other. And the tears of Carly and Megan can prove it, if they still have any. Church, I confess to you, I have not been the best youth minister this past year. But what God did in my heart, He gave me a love for students that I did not have before going to camp. And I'm praising God for that. I got to see their hunger for His word. I got to see them worshiping Him. But at the end of the day, I can reflect on camp and say, God changed me. God changed me, and I'm so thankful for that. So how the rest of the service is going to go. The first student up is going to be Riley Trainer. So if you're taking notes, you can go ahead and write down Riley Trainer. I'm going to invite her on up. Let's give her a little bit of motivation here. Here we go, Riley. So these notes down here at the bottom, these little inserts, that's just for anything that you hear that is noteworthy, just fill it in. I'm going to be asking her essentially three questions, so try to fill it in as you can. So, Riley, what was your favorite thing about camp this year?
I'd have to say it was the family groups and meeting everybody and seeing what their religion was and to talk to them and get to know them more.
Yeah. What about, how was the food at camp? Is it all right?
The food was actually pretty good.
Favorite meal was? Pork butt.
Yes.
It's pork butt.
Yes.
I don't know. That was my favorite meal.
Yeah.
So just a couple more questions. Riley, what did you learn about God this week?
I learned this week that He's sufficient, all-knowing, He's deserving of glory, and He's the truth and the light of our lives.
Yeah. The theme of camp this last week was glory. We were studying the glory of God from Romans 11, 33 to 36. And so, yeah, He is self-sufficient. So what I want to do now, Riley, I'm just going to read a couple of passages, and then I just want you to share what this meant to you and how this changed your life at camp. So in Matthew 13, Jesus says this in verse 31. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." Then later in chapter 17, he says this, "And he said to his disciples, 'Because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you.'" Riley, what do those passages mean to you that I just read?
Yeah, so while I was at False Creek, I have been trying to build up a whole bunch of filled out checks for God and saying, "Hey, here's my faith, but I can't feel Him yet." And when I realized that all you need is the tiniest bit of faith to believe in God, I got saved right there in the tabernacle. And as that faith grows in your life, it makes you realize who really rules your life. And the mountain in 17, verse 20, is actually our sin. It's in the way of everything we believe in. But when you plant that mustard seed and you tell that sin to move away, God's in my heart right now. He's on my side, and that sin will move. And no matter what Satan throws at you, it'll be nothing to you because you have God in your life. Praise the Lord.
That was amazing. Praise God. And so, friends, as each one of these students come up, this is a member of Graceway Baptist Church. This is, she belongs to us, and God has done a work in her life, and we are here to encourage her. We are here to help her whenever that mountain comes and it feels like that sin is going to keep her down. We're here to tell her that Christ died for that sin. Sin has no power because death is defeated. It only takes the smallest bit of faith in our great God. And that's what happened in Riley's life. So thank you so much, Riley. Praise the Lord. Next up, Graydon Bruin. I'm just going to let you do your thing.
Well, okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
So on the Tabernacle, I believe it was Thursday night, I think Shelby gave me 3 questions, and the first one was, what did you learn about God? And a quick thing, my answers are a little bit longer than hers, so just bear with me for a minute. Okay, so in Morning Tabernacle, basically, we were going through Romans 11, 33 to 36. That was our theme verse. From Tuesday to Friday, and each day we covered a different aspect of God. On Tuesday, we learned that God is deep, from Romans 11, 33 to 34. Oh, the depth of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? And then on Wednesday, we learned that God is sufficient, Romans 11, 35. Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? This means that God needs no help from man. He is complete and solid, and we can rely on him and trust him. He is sufficient for our needs. And then on Thursday, we learned that God is deserving, from Romans 11, 36a. For from him and through him and to him are all things. For from him, that means that God created everything, and through him, God sustains all things, and to him, God deserves all things. They are his. As the creator and sustainer of everything, he deserves it all. And he deserves to be our number one priority above our possessions, our comfort, our family, and our own life. And then on Friday, we learned that God is eternal and unchanging, from Romans 11, 36b. To him be the glory forever. God is constantly there for us and unforsaking. We can live and hope with eternity in sight. And then the second question was, what did you learn about yourself? And each of these kind of relates to what we learned about God and kind of contrasts them. So for the first one, while God is deep, we are shallow. We can never fully explore the richness of his character. He's just amazing in every way. We can't comprehend the magnificence of his glory. He's just amazing. And then, while God is sufficient, we are insufficient. We can't fulfill our own needs, physical or spiritual. We are incapable of that. God is the one that fulfills our needs. And then, while God is deserving, I'm undeserving. I don't deserve my own time and energy in life. He does. We don't deserve his grace, but he gives it to us anyway. And while God is eternal and unchanging, we are constantly changing. And what are you going to do differently? Since God is so deep and so amazing and unsearchable and completely deserving, I will trust him and more fully surrender my time to him. And since he is sufficient and eternal, I will not worry about my earthly needs. I'm also going to start studying my Bible more systematically so I can better learn about him and how amazing he is. That's it.
Thank you for that, Gray. Yeah. They don't mess around in the Morning Tabernacle. We learned about the glory of God, and we went deep, and we went really fast, right? It was very, very fast. And so the thing that I took away from camp, from Falls Creek, is we just don't have enough time, which means that, like what Gray, he just said, how is he going to change his life? He's going to, he's challenged to read his Bible more. He's challenged to let goods and kindred go, to let go of things that are on earth and set his mind on things that are above. Again, as we go through these students, you are the members of Graceway Baptist Church, and you are the ones that can hold him accountable, that can hold Riley accountable, and that can hold Helena Page accountable. If you want to go ahead and come on up, Helena. Go ahead. As we go through this, I want you all to see these students as brothers and sisters in Christ, in whom God has put in your life for a incredibly particular reason, and that is to pour into them. To whenever they say, I'm afraid that my sin is going to take me away from God, don't let them. Don't let them. Okay, Helena, take it away.
This week, I learned that we are not worthy of God's love, but his love is not earned. It is given to us as a gift. Shame, fear, and guilt are the devil's weapons to scare us into sin. Luke 5:12 says, while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. We are the man who is in need. We are in need of God to save us so that we can live in eternity with him in heaven. On Friday, I realized that Jesus would sacrifice himself for me again and again. When the preacher said to come up to the stage, either to get saved or if you felt called to ministry right then, I waited to receive Christ as my Lord and Savior.
Amen. Amen. God is still in the business of saving souls. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for the work that he is doing in the lives of Graceway Baptist Church. Let's see, who's next? Katie Bell. Katie Bell, we love Katie Bell. We love everyone. Katie Bell.
Okay, so I'm doing the questions that Gray had, which was, what did you learn about God? We must go to God, and we must allow him to clean us up. We must maintain fellowship and quiet time with just God, just us and God. God's favor is a gift from God, paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. Guilt, shame, and fear is the devil's doing, not God's, so we shouldn't blame God for it. Jesus is not afraid of what we've done in our past, because it's in the past. We have to do everything in our power to put people at the feet of Jesus. Something I learned is what I want to do when I get older. On Wednesday night, he called people down. If you have a calling to be saved or have a calling to do ministry, I went down for ministry. I'm going to start learning and reading more about the Bible. I'm going to start talking to more people about the gospel. I'm not going to use the Bible app. I'm going to use the Bible, the book.
Hallelujah. What she is meaning by that is there's a big emphasis to put away the phone. Put the phone away. And so who deleted apps on your phone this last week? 1, 2, 3, okay. Who's committed to not using your phone as much? Every hand, come on. Every hand. A lot of you don't have a phone, so that's it. So when Katie Bell said, I deleted the Bible app and I'm gonna use the Bible, she's saying she doesn't wanna use her phone as much. And so, okay, we've had 4 students come up, and each of them said that they want to be even more committed to Christ than they were before. So we have Riley. She's a new Christian, and she is going to need some lady to take her under her wing and to raise her up and to disciple her. Gray, he just said that he wants to read his Bible more. He needs help in studying his Bible more systematically. He needs a man or a young man to take him in and to teach him about the mysteries of God. Katie Bell, or Helena Page, same thing. So we have 2 girls. Okay, we have 3 girls right now. Riley, Helena, and Katie. They need women to disciple them. They need women who are committed to taking them, especially during the summer, because school's not happening. I love Falls Creek because of that. Like, total freedom for the summer, essentially. We need three ladies to commit to pouring into these young ladies' lives, to teach them about God, to teach them how to read the Bible. And then we have Gray as well. We need someone to commit to Gray as well. And of course, I'm going to be, like, you know, bouncing in and out of all of these. And then we have one more student. So if whenever I was saying that, if you felt like, if you've been wanting to take in a young lady or a young man to teach them how to read the Bible, to teach them about God, to teach them how to love Jesus, if you feel like you've been wanting to do that, this is your opportunity to do it. The opportunity is there. All you have to do is walk up to them and say, hey, let's go grab lunch. Let's go grab coffee. Or let's meet on Wednesday nights before we have church. And we can just meet for 30 minutes, maybe an hour. This is your opportunity, so don't let it pass. And last but not least, we have John Hinkey Rose. So John, come on up, please. Say that again. Your own thing. Well, what do you... Let's talk.
Morning, everyone.
Morning.
So I got the same three questions everyone else did. What did you learn about God? What did you learn about yourself? And what are you going to change when you get home? And what I learned about God is that... So, our themes through the night, like, or not the night, but every morning during, in cabin was God or Jesus in different roles. Like, Monday was God as Jesus as God-man, Jesus as a prophet, Jesus as our priest, and Jesus as our king. And the two that had really stuck out to me were Jesus as a prophet and priest, because I never thought about him as such. And he is our prophet in the sense that he represents God to us and makes known what God wants in our lives. And he's a priest in the sense that he represents us to God, because back then the priests would do the sacrifices for the people and help them atone for their sins, and that's what Jesus did. Another thing I learned is that he will wreck our plans for his will, and he did that for me. Thankfully, not with tragedy, but... So what I learned about myself is I am called to ministry in the mission field. I didn't go up in Tabernacle. I felt like I should go to Shelby one night in the dorm, sober-minded, and just tell him that that's what I was feeling. And he helped me, and it's still helping me in my calling with this. And thank you for that. And what I'm changing about myself now that I'm back is I'm keeping a prayer journal. I'm going to keep it for people I need to share the gospel with, people I need to pray for, and I'm going to be more deliberate in my study of God's word. And I'm asking you, members of Graceway Baptist Church, to hold me accountable and help me in that pursuit. So, I think I finished it.
We took 11 students to Falls Creek. And 5 of them made explicit decisions that were, we could reach out and grasp them. We had 3 students, one is not here, Juliana. 3 students God saved for the first time. Then we had 2 students commit their life to full-time ministry. One, still working out what that's going to look like. Not too sure, but Katie Bell feels the call to ministry. And then John Rose, he accepted the call to missions. And for those 5 that made the decision, to the rest of you, what did God work in your life? God worked in my life. And just because it's those 5 that made that explicit decision doesn't mean that God didn't work in the lives of the other students, because he absolutely did. But I do want to highlight the 5. And specifically, I'm praising God for what he did in Riley's life, and Helena's life, Juliana's life. He brought them from darkness into light, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved son. Heaven is rejoicing as we rejoice with them that he has called a sinner to himself, praising the Lord for that. And we are going to, so if we have, John, I'm going to use you real quick. Come up here, please. Come stand over here. We're going to act like this is this from like where John is to right here. This is the Christian, or this is a human experience. This is John. This is the worst part of the Christian life. You're the most miserable sinner ever, okay? That, like, I didn't tell you I'm going to do this. So this is, you're dead in your sin. You're filthy, nasty, like ashamed in your sin. And then God starts to draw a sinner to himself. And then right here, this is where God saves the sinner from darkness into light. Now, I know. Now, church, is he done? No. And so this is where Helena, this is where Riley, this is where Juliana, this is where they are right now. And John Rose, he's a little bit ahead of the game. He is walking in faithfulness and pursuing the Lord, and he is even feeling the call to missions. And whenever you get this from here to here, this does not come by themselves. This comes by the power of the Holy Spirit, and this comes by faithful saints. You can sit down. Thank you for that, John. Thank you. This comes by the specific discipleship of y'all, of you all. To get somebody from here to here, it takes discipleship. I've told the students multiple times, time and time again, in the youth group, I'm going to fiercely pursue the goal to raise up many pastors and many missionaries. My goodness, I did not think that was going to happen at Falls Creek. But God works. God moves. He uses even people like me who aren't, whose priorities are so messed up. He uses them. He uses a sinner like me. And specifically with John Rose, he feels the call to share the gospel to a lost world. And I asked somebody to come here for a particular reason. That's his sister, Audrey. We know Audrey. We love Audrey. I did this so that she would cry. That's all. She's crying now, and now I'm going to leave her alone. I'm kidding. Whenever John sat down in the dorm and he said, Shelby, I feel the call to missions. And I asked him, okay, why? Like, how did this come about? And he said, well, I remember my sister Audrey always saying, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. just one tiny little bit of planting that seed. God's word is active. That's all it took. And God used that in the heart of John Rose. And he saw the need for gospel missions. Because he sees that the harvest is plenty. But oh, the laborers are so few. Friends, this young man, at 19 years old, I don't want to tell you what I was doing at 19 years old. He has committed his life to missions. He wants to serve God on the mission field. Specifically, he wants to do that at the end of the summer. He wants to start that process doing a short-term mission trip. And he said specifically the state of Utah, because in Salt Lake City, 97% of people do not know the gospel truly. That is the Mormon Mecca of the world, where a cult, that is the cult headquarters. They do not know Jesus Christ in truth. And there is a team going to Salt Lake City at the end of July. It costs $1,000. Are we going to mobilize John Rose? Are we going to fan into flame this passion that God has put on his heart? Even in the summer of 2021. So if you feel led to give to that endeavor, if you feel led to give to send John on his first mission trip, come see me after the service. However much, however little, we want to, like I said, we want to fan into flame what God is doing. We want to be agents of the gospel. We want to send many. We want to send this one so that many more might hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. So as we close this service, as we wrap up, there are just a couple things that I want to share. Here, I opened it for, there it is. This comes from Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 1. I'm going to read quite a bit of this, if you just listen closely. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. This is writing to Christians. This is writing to the church, so this is to us this morning. I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, and eager to maintain the unity of spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. And saying, he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth. Then listen to this very closely. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. And this phrase right here, this is what I really want you to listen to. To equip the saints for the work of ministry. For building up the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood and womanhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children. God has given to the church, each one of you, whatever situation in life it is, whether you are a new Christian, whether you have been doing this a long time, and showing up, that is your ministry to the church. But there is a large spectrum in between that. And what your role is this. Your call, this is on the authority of God's word, Christian. Your call is, verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. These are saints on this stage. These are saints that belong to you. And you, saints, you belong to them. If you want to know your job description as a Christian, your job description is raising up Riley Trainer, discipling her. Your job description is pouring into the life of Graydon Bruden. Your job description is holding Helena Page accountable, telling her there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Your job description is helping Katie Bell navigate how to weave in her testimony into her call to ministry. Your job description is enthusiastically supporting, pouring into, giving to John Rose and to missions. Friends, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. What I don't want to happen is to get down from this high of camp and just get stuck into a rut of just monotony, of just going through the motions. But I want each and every single one of you to fiercely pursue that job description. Because whether you know it or not, whether you acknowledge it or not, there is a cosmic battle happening right now at the Trainer household, at the Bruin household, the Page household, at every single one of these homes. There are powers at work that in the sons of disobedience that is trying to rip them away from what God is doing in their lives. And the responsibility to fight is on you, and it's on me. The Christian life is not a call to isolation. The Christian life is a call to community. It is a call to one another. It is a call to equip the saints for the work of the ministry and for building up the body of Christ. Friends, don't let this Sunday pass without thinking about and acting on how you are going to support these students. Not just the ones that spoke, not just the five, but even the people in the back row. Because God is working in their lives too. So think now how it is you are going to, how you are going to change and how you are going to live now in light of what you've heard God has done in their lives. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for giving us the gospel. We thank you for the gift of your grace, which is given to us by the working of your power. And Lord, we join in with Paul when he says, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given. That could be true for every single person in this room who has come to faith and knowledge in the Son of God. Lord, you know my heart. It is I who is the very least of all the saints. And yet, Lord, you use a broken vessel like me to display your glory. How rich is your mercy to sinners? How great is your glory? And Lord, it's not just this grace and this mercy that stops with us. But Lord, it is for a purpose, and that is to preach the gospel to people who do not know the unsearchable riches of Christ. And it is to bring light to everyone, to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through us, your church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Lord, when we think about the mystery of your plan to use the church, to use people who are broken, redeemed, yes, but broken still, yes. Lord, it is your plan to use us to share the treasures hidden in Christ with a world that is hidden in darkness. Lord, we pray by your Spirit that you will bring people out of that darkness into the light. We pray that your gospel will be made known to the ends of the earth. We pray, Lord, right now that you will continue to raise up young people for the cause of Christ. Whether they are going to be an accountant, whether they're going to be an electrician, whether they are going to be a mother, whether they're going to be a surgeon, a pastor, a missionary, whatever the case may be, Lord, we pray that you continue to work as you promised us you will do, so that we can have the incredible gift of grace to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth, and that many more might come to know him as their Savior. Lord, and I pray for the people of Graceway Baptist Church that you would put in each one of our hearts the desire, this unquenchable flame to pour into the life of young people, to teach young people how to read the Bible, to teach young people how to truly find joy in Christ, to teach young people how to suffer well, to teach young people how to be mature. Lord, by your Spirit, do these things. Use us broken people imperfect people, Lord, we commit ourselves to you as Graceway Baptist Church to do in us what we could never even dream, never even fathom. And Lord, I pray that as we do that, it will strengthen us. It will bring unity among our midst. That we will love one another well. That we will serve one another well. And that we will worship with one another well. Do these things, Lord, by your Spirit. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Would you stand as we close in song?
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold. My hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken. For by my side, the Savior, He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing. For in my need, His power is displayed. To this I hold. My shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley he will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon. And he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold. My sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released. I can sing, I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home. And day by day, I know he will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. To this I hold, to this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
From the book of Jude. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, and to the only God our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.